WCNO, Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
I don't hear you. There you are. Hello? I'm on. Are you?
No. I'm okay.
Grab my testing.
This one?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Luann will be with you just here in a second. Here she comes.
No idea why you're not working.
She flew in here, and now she fluttered down.
Am I She's on? Because I, yes. I have yes. to move this thing.
Yes, you're back. You came back to us.
Okay, hold on. You can start. Everybody start. Glory. Oh, wait. I hear myself.
Yeah.
Oh.
There you are.
Hello, everyone. Oh my God, there I am. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. I'm here with James and Pastor Tom, and we're here to talk about Kingdom Mindset at the King's Table. But before we do that, I just want to make announcements that you're listening to WCNO 89.9, and we're on every Friday at 5. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, I'm Luann Linekin. My number is 631-745-7980. And this segment of Kingdom Recovery is called At the King's Table with Pastor Tom. And I attend Pastor Tom's church for, I don't know, 13 years now, 14 years. And it's in Fort Pierce, 3212 South US 1. And we meet on Wednesdays for teachings at 7:30 and on Sundays at 10:30, worship, and both of them is worship and teaching and then preaching. So we welcome you to come and join us if you want to hear more, and if you want to try out a new church that's teaching kingdom mindset, that the kingdom of God is at hand, and we need to know how to operate and how to live in the kingdom here on earth right now. The kingdom's here right now. We all have a piece of the kingdom in our heart. So with that. Also, Pastor Tom has another book out. It's called No More Bad Days. That's one of our mottos at In the Kingdom.
Right.
In the Kingdom. So, and if you would like one, you can always reach out to me or call the station at 772-221-1100, and they'll get in touch with me. They'll take your name, and they'll let me know, and we'll get it to you, okay? So with that, let's start our At the King's Table Kingdom Mindset, and today we're going to be talking about old way of thinking to new way of thinking, even as a Christian, thinking in old ways. So the way I titled it is kingdom thinking versus Christian thinking, tradition, religious thinking. Because when we think about, the kingdom and what Jesus came to do was bring a new concept and the kingdom of God back here on earth. It wasn't actually a new concept. He was returning what we already had in the garden. So that was his purpose to come, and the Pharisees and the people around him were fighting that because they were used to old mindset, an old way of thinking. So he was here to renew the mind so that they can be transformed. So, Pastor, you want to start us off?
Yeah, well, one thing that I found from reading the Bible and studying the Bible basically is, and it'll help you when you read the Bible and start to learn, is basically that everything that Jesus did, he did to get the kingdom back into the earth. That was his main purpose. So he came to the earth to get the kingdom back. He preached the kingdom to get the kingdom back. He went to the cross and suffered and died to get the kingdom back. He rose from the dead to get the kingdom back. He sent the Holy Ghost to get the kingdom back. And if you don't understand that, you'll get caught in certain parts of what God wants to get done in the earth, and you'll limit it to a certain feast day or holiday, and you'll stop right there. And we want to go all the way with God. We want to be instruments for him to fulfill his will. And in order to do that, we basically have to know what he's doing in order to fulfill that. So when I first started studying the kingdom of God, I ran into scriptures like in Isaiah 55:9 that said, as far as the heavens and are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And I immediately started thinking, I got to change the way I think, apparently. Mm-hmm. That seems to be what God's thinking. And then, of course, Jesus came. His first sermon was repent. In other words, change your thinking, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So I went through the Bible, and I tried to find out every way I was thinking stupid. So I started reading the Bible, and, of course, I started in the New Testament. And right off the bat, I got to a place to where what I'd been taught and what was brought to me, the first thing was that I was basically taught that my life's goal for being here was basically to get saved and go to heaven.
Right.
That's why I was here. Everybody told me, that's why you're here. Well, I did get saved, and I knew then I was going to heaven, but then I was only 30 years old when that happened, and I figured I should probably be doing something now in case I live to 80, 90, or 100, something else other than doing that. So I was looking at that time as basically living here on the earth, and then when I died, I'd go to heaven for my spiritual retirement. Because everybody up there is spiritual. It's a spiritual country. It's a spiritual this or that. So really, I just did what everybody else did. I got up. I went to work. I tried to supply for my family. I went to church on Sunday. I went to church on Wednesday. Went to church at the prayer meeting. Did all those things. But I wasn't really feel like I was fulfilled and really doing anything. And later on, as I started studying the kingdom of God, I found out that just going to heaven was not the end. Basically, it wasn't even the goal of what Jesus came to do. I found out that it was the kingdom of God that he was trying to get back into the earth realm. So the kingdom taught me to get saved, but also told me then to change basically earth while I was here.
Amen.
So now I had an assignment of what to do while I was down here. So after about 5 or 7 years, I started to understand that God had put me here for a specific purpose, to do something, basically to do something for him. And as I did that, I started seeing things like go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom to every creature. Well, if he told his disciples there, I figured I was supposed to do that too. But at first, I didn't know what to preach. But when I read it in the Bible, it said, go preach the good news about the kingdom of God. Notice it didn't say the good news even about Jesus, which is good news, but the good news about the kingdom. So I figured out that even when I got saved, I really didn't get saved because I loved Jesus so much and I wanted Jesus. I got saved because I was in such a bad spot, I wanted something better in my life. In other words, I wanted a change. I wanted something different. And that's basically why I came to the kingdom of God. And that's what the kingdom of God is. It's a better way of life for each and every person. So my calling then changed to be someone who's extending immigration policy to other people who have not entered the kingdom of God and not entered into the mindset that it's more than just being born again and going to heaven. So it gave me an opportunity for a reason to be here over the last, 25 years. What am I here for? I'm here to unpack the earth. I'm here to influence the earth. I'm here to get people into the kingdom of God and help them to understand the kingdom of God so that it can come out of the lifestyle that they're in right now. You know, and immigration is basically like a lot of people in a poor country are tired of living in that country, tired of the mess, tired of everything. So they try to get into the United States no matter how it takes or what they can do. And it's the same way with the kingdom of God. Many people out there are suffering. They're struggling. They're doing everything, that's driving them nuts. And basically what they need is just to come into a better kingdom, into a better country. So I found out that I didn't get heaven and get associated with heaven basically when I got born again and just go to heaven. But now I had access to an actual place, which was heaven itself.
Amen. And you know, when you were saying like coming to Jesus, wanting change, I still had to make a decision. Jesus shows up and gives me an option to follow him. He doesn't force me to, and I there were several times I believe I had that option, but I chose to do it my way, and then there was that pivotal point in my life where I when he showed up again to, help me see a different way to live, but I had to make the decision to follow him. It's the same thing in when he was walking here on earth. He showed up at places, people went, but a lot of people walked away.
Right.
They were looking for something, better than what they were living in. And even when you do know what the kingdom of heaven is like, you realize no matter how much you obtain here in the world or you overcome in your works, it still doesn't compare to the poverty that you're suffering when you see what the kingdom of God offers you. Like, you realize how poor you are in spirit, you know, when you understand that. You were talking last night and you said, I quoted you on one of my notes, Jesus did not bring a new law or ritual. He brought back the kingdom of God. And then you read Isaiah 9, 6, 7, and it kind of explains in the Old Testament who Jesus is before he, you know, he even arrived here and was born in the flesh. And it talks about him carrying the kingdom of God on his shoulders to come bring to us his kingdom here on earth. Because in the kingdoms of those days, it's living according to how the king, his morals, his values. So the concept of Jesus coming to bring God, the kingdom of God here, was so that we can have an understanding and be in the presence of God to know his will, his way, his plan and purpose. Because that's what I know. I feel like the closer I get to God, the more clear I am about how lost I was. You know, what I was looking for. I was looking for purpose. I was looking for some kind of direction. I was looking for fulfillment, you know, and only God could do that because I did many successful things to the world, according to the world, but I was never feeling very successful, you know, in my spirit, you know?
And even when I was called a Christian, basically, it's in the Bible, but Jesus never even spoke about being a Christian. When I was a Christian, it was pretty simple. You get saved, you go to heaven, that's it. But then I started reading the Bible, and I found out about when I got born again, I actually became a citizen of the kingdom of God and of heaven itself. Well, I didn't think I had any access to heaven, really didn't have anything to do with heaven until I died. And then when I went to heaven, it's going to be a wonderful place. It's going to be marvelous. Oh, I can't wait to go. But yet I don't want to go because I don't want to die to get there. But when I found out I was made a citizen of heaven, and of course a citizen is somebody who has access to that government or to that country.
Right.
So it told me that I had access to heaven now, not when I died, but right now. So as a citizen of a spiritual country, of course, it's an invisible country, but it's just as real or more real than a regular government. And basically becoming a citizen of that, I found out that I had a lot of rights that nobody ever told me about. They told me about the rights I was going to get in heaven when I died, how great it was going to be when I died, how wonderful everything was when I died, but I didn't really want to die, and I didn't want to live through hell while down here just because I'm saved and going to heaven. So I started finding out that there was things, and one of the things that's, that people don't understand, even tithing, you know, we don't talk about it too much, but tithing basically never promises to give your money back when you tithe. It says that that opens up the windows of heaven. In other words, it opens up a connection for you to have access to wealth out of heaven, your home country, and your king there who has already said he would take care of you. It opens access for the king then to get things from the spiritual country into the natural realm that we need here each and every day. It also told me that I could come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, I guarantee you the throne of grace is not here, you know, in JCPenney or Walmart. No, it's still in heaven. So basically I have access to a throne that's in heaven, and all at once this heaven stuff became real to me because before it was just a word, you know, that sooner or later I'm going to get there, and that's great, and that's wonderful, and everything will be great when you get there. But I found out that God loved me so much and everybody else that he wanted us to have a good time here. He wanted us to be who we were here. And most of the things we were waiting to receive in heaven were available to me now as a kingdom citizen. So it changed my way of thinking of just, you know, suffering for Jesus, going through all hardships for Jesus, doing all this stuff, and found out that Jesus didn't even want me to go through those things. He wanted me and needed me to further the kingdom of God. And in order to do that, he had to give me what I needed in order to do that.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, when we enter into the kingdom, we receive, it's like God came to give the gifts of the kingdom of heaven to us. Now, I can have a gift and my whole life never open it and find that there are many gifts inside the gift, you know, and I think about gifts of like joy. How do I operate in joy, in kingdom joy, not in worldly joy? Like these are the things that, that's why we have to, we get to go in the throne room and God teaches us how to, the Holy Spirit in us, teaches us how to operate in God's goodness, in God's character, in God's virtues, in God's moral values. And that's the gift that we get. But I have to choose to open it and say, okay, I wanna manifest this in my life. And God will show us how to do that through his word. There are so many promises and directions on how to manifest the promises in our life. You know, you were talking about tithing. There's clear-cut directions mm-hmm. in the Bible. If I don't know how to operate money, God will teach me how. But I have to ask him. Mm-hmm. I have to be at a place where I want to repent, and turn my way of operating money and let him show me how to operate the money. He's not going to do it for me because, first of all, he needs my vessel. And I have to cooperate with him and agree with him. So if I don't understand his word and I don't know what his will is for money, then I won't even be able to agree with him because I'm not giving myself an opportunity to know the difference, you know, and I'm staying stuck in that cycle. I felt like I was always stuck in the cycle of just going round and round, expecting something different and getting the same result, that insanity cycle. Mm-hmm. That's the definition. I'm sure there are people listening right now that are totally like, yes, amen, because I know I wasn't alone. You know, I have enough people in my life, testimonies of people that tell me.
You wanna say? It also says he'll rebuke the devourer when we tithe. And I just see money last. The times I didn't make that much, but it just lasted. And people making way more me had no money. You know, it's like, so that's another side of tithing, the promise.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have the 90% with his blessing.
Amen.
And cover over
that's
than
right.
100%.
That's right.
The enemy eating it up.
And since Christianity pushed so hard on going to heaven, basically, it focused me on my own works and my mm-hmm. own things. Mm-hmm. So it was always, am I doing enough to stay in line to go to heaven? Ain't I doing enough? And then I'd concentrate on my failures because they were every other day I'd be failing in something. And then I'd wonder if I was going to church enough. I wonder if I was praying enough. I wonder if I was lifting my hands enough. I wonder if I was doing enough. And when I did enough, I felt real good. But the day that I missed
right.
church and didn't get there, I felt real bad. And then I checked the kingdom of God, and basically God wanted me to focus not on what I did, but what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started focusing on what Jesus did for me, which are the promises, we call them the promises of God. But the thing is, in the kingdom of God, all the promises are yes and amen.
Amen.
They're not future. They're not heavenly promises. They're
they're
promises for us right now of
Hallelujah.
What we can do and what we can do. So basically all the promises are yes. So I started focusing on what Jesus provided, mm-hmm. you know, and in the season we're at right now, it's great. Jesus, this is Good Friday. Jesus died. Jesus was raised on Sunday. But so what?
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus is alive.
Is
so
he?
What? Well, he's alive. Well, so what? He's alive. Well, so what? Now, we all know he didn't do it for himself.
Mm-mm.
No, he didn't need to suffer for his own sins. He didn't have any. So he went to the cross for us. So basically, there's so many things that he provided for us on the cross and when he was even raised from the dead. And all these things are necessities for us to receive.
Yeah.
You know, in Isaiah 53, it says he took our sins. It tells us he gave us the peace of mind. It tells us that he's healed all our diseases. And all these things are kingdom things for now. They're not for later on. They're not for when you die and
Amen.
Go to heaven. They are available to you right now in the kingdom of God because they've already been provided for each and every one. Like I said, everything is yes and amen, basically, in the kingdom of God. So I started focusing on what Jesus did, and many
mm-hmm.
times when I focused on what he did, it took care of all the problems I was trying
mm-hmm.
to deal with before.
Amen.
When I found out that he made me righteous, I didn't suffer so much with sin. I used to think I was an old sinner,
right.
saved by grace, and hopefully something would happen, you know, and I'd get a little bit better, and I would for a little bit, and then and that's what you talk about going around and around.
Right.
I'd have a good day where I didn't mm-hmm. kick the dog, cuss at my wife, or do anything. I'm doing pretty good today. And then the next day, I'd turn around and do that, and
mm-hmm.
I felt good, and then I felt bad, and then I was up and down. But when I started focusing on what Jesus did, he already made me righteous in
Amen.
Right standing with
Amen.
Him. He already gave me the ability. The Bible says, let not sin have dominion over me. I found out that I didn't have to sin, even though everybody thinks the devil makes you do it. He doesn't. You
nope.
choose to
Amen.
Do it. You keep the devil out of it. Don't give me more credit than he's even got, for goodness sakes. But all those things, I've started to found it out that I can now stand against those things.
Mm-hmm.
I could live in the authority. I could live a life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Yeah.
So when you say, so what, the whole point is, we say that because it's already been done. So what? We have it now. So if we're not manifesting, then it means nothing. All of it means nothing, you know, because it is finished. He said that at the cross. So it means right now we have everything that he did. And it's not like a yearly thing. It's a now thing every day. You know, it's not like we have to wait for this time of year to get Jesus to get resurrected. Mm-hmm. He's done. It is finished. You know, and that's why we say, so what? What are we doing about it is really the question. What are we doing through the year daily for his sacrifice, for what he's done for us, and fulfilling everything that we needed here to be able to operate properly on earth the way God created us in the garden, to be able to be in his presence. I mean, what a miracle that what he did. That's a miracle in itself. If you think, if you're born again, that's the biggest miracle you're ever going to receive on earth. You know, I mean, that's how I look at it. And everything else is just bonus. It's extra. And it's usually, you know, yesterday you also said kingdom thinkers versus Christian religious traditional thinking. Is kingdom thinkers do not worry. You said, take no thought. Mm-hmm. We take no thought because we know God will provide as long as it lines up with his will. But once again, if we're not spending time with him and hearing him tell us and put in our hearts what his will is, we'll always be confused or double-minded, trying to guess what he wants. I want to know him, you know, and that's how life gets a lot easier when you understand what the king is looking to do here on earth, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, once you have the finish line, you know where you're headed anyway. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's so bad to not know where you're going. I mean, even if you take off in a car and don't have any mm-hmm. idea where you're going. But we know where we're going. We're going to further the kingdom of God. That's what we're here for. That's our purpose. And basically, it's why God created you and put you here for this time. The Bible says that he knew you before the foundations of the world and even before you were in your mother's womb. So he put you on this planet right now for something that needs to be done. And I always thought it was being done for me.
Yes.
You know, right. God, do this. God, do mm-hmm. that. God, do this. This is what I want, God. This is what I have, God. I need this, God. But I found out that I was put here for him. He wasn't put here for me, basically. So when I started getting lined up with his will, and it's like you talked about in Matthew chapter 6, mm-hmm. where Jesus, you know, he had that kingdom mentality. Mm-hmm. And whenever Jesus questions something the way we're thinking, that's probably what we need to change. So he says, don't take any thought. Why do you worry? I don't understand it. So I said, well, if that's kingdom thinking, because I certainly don't have that thinking right now.
Right.
I'm worried all the time about everything I eat and drink and wear and all that. So I had to adjust my kingdom thinking, and I tried to do that with all my will, and that never works. You've only got so far to go with your own will.
Right.
But when I got to the point where I changed priorities, and that's what the kingdom does in your life, it changes priorities. When I seek first the kingdom of God and my right standing in that kingdom, then it says all the things, Tom, you've been had on your prayer list for the last 25 years and try to get from me, I will make sure that you get them. But I was going to God. I was trying to actually get things. I was seeking things through God rather than seeking God and getting things.
Amen.
And a lot of people in Christianity right now have been taught to seek things.
Right.
Part of being faith. What, do you have enough faith to get that new car? Do you have enough faith to get that new house? Right. Do you have enough faith to get it? You don't have enough faith, then you need a little bit more faith. Well, maybe it's not a faith problem. Maybe it's a priority problem.
Amen.
Maybe you want the car and everything else more than you want the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And he didn't put you here just to have a new car. Now, if you obey him and you start seeking first the kingdom of God, watch out. You may end up with a new car before it's over with, but you don't get it because you're seeking things here on the earth. Everything here is going to stay here anyway. We're taking none of this stuff to heaven. He's trying to change our priorities to line up with the kingdom of God, and that's when you really start running with the king, is when you start doing his will on the earth.
Amen. And I put here, kingdom thinkers prioritize God's will, his word, God's plan and purpose, his mission and lives, and the lives get transformed, and the lives of others. We are influencers, real influencers, when we're living according to the king.
Yes, real God, influencers.
Real influencers,
real
right? Amen. And Christian think is, you know, they're focused on things, like you're saying. Now, when we say you be careful, you're going to get a new car, it's because if your heart lines up with God's heart to minister to others, to go lay hands, go to the nations, you're going to have to get there somehow. And God's going to make sure you do mm-hmm. when your heart is right. So we just want to make sure, you know, people are really understanding, because it's a heart shift, you know, that has to occur. And if you seek God's heart, his will, his way, then these things need to be supplied by the king. It's a parent giving you everything you need before you leave the house. You know, say you're going to school, they're going to make sure you have everything you need, all your supplies, so that you can be the best student you could be. God does the same for his children.
And he really does it not even for my sake. He does it for his sake.
Yes.
Because he's the one that wants the kingdom extended, basically. Yeah. So, and a lot of times, even when I'm under attack, even for physical things, you know, I'll go to him and say, hey, you need to heal me because you need my body.
That's right.
Without my body, you can't get nothing done. And if I end up going out of here, you can't use me anymore because once I drop this body, it's over with. And that's because we have the authority here on
the
earth. The human being is what was given authority back in Genesis chapter 1 when God said, let them have dominion.
Amen.
And at that time, man had dominion. So God needs us. He wants us here. Many of the things he does because for his sake, he gave you a purpose to do. And like you said, whatever you need, whatever size ministry you got, whatever you need, he will supply it because you're doing what he needs you to do.
Amen.
While you're here. And I'd much rather go to heaven knowing that I did my best to figure out his will and fulfill my assignment than just, hi, God, I got born again and I'm going to heaven.
And here I
knew
am.
That. I'm got born again and I'm going to heaven. Here I am, Lord. I'm going, God said, well, what'd you do between 30 and 80? Well, I got born again and I'm going to heaven. I did my best. And but no, it's not that way. You're here for an assignment right now.
Yeah.
And it's obvious you're not going to stay here forever. And it's obvious even when you go to heaven, you're not going to stay there forever either.
That's right.
You're going to come back to a new heavens and a new earth and finally rule the way that we're supposed to be ruling in this day and age. So it gives you a purpose and an assignment. It gives you something bigger than yourself.
Right.
Bigger than your bank account, bigger than your family, bigger than everything else. Because God wants to use you in a mighty way. And that's why he's given us so many things. But you've got to apply what he gives you.
Right. And everything you mentioned is a ministry. Your family, your finances, everything is a ministry that's in your life right now as it is. And like we said earlier, you were talking about prioritizing. If it's not in order properly, it's going to feel overwhelming. It's going to feel mismanaged, like or not fruitful. Maybe that's you're going to feel stagnant, stuck or worried about things. When you're worried about that, means you're not managing properly. You're not going to the Lord to learn how to manage these things, how to release the blessings that's already inside of you. It's in you. We're always looking outside, trying to get something to fix something inside but it's already in us. When we got born again, we received the kingdom. So everything's inside. Everything that the kingdom has here on earth is inside of you, the born again believer, We have to be, it's not everybody, everybody wants kingdom, but they're believing in other, I'll say gods, different types of gods to get rulership, because we all want rulership. I mean, you talk about that all the time too. It's in us to want rulership. He designed us that way so that we would seek him for the rulership of the piece of property that we have in our heart and the territory he gives us, how big it is or how small it is. It operates the same for the next person. Everything that's in the kingdom I receive, who's ever born again, you receive the same thing. You just have to know what the purpose is for it in your life.
And we start out in kingdom because basically we find out that we get saved. And we are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. So then we talk about righteousness. Well, I'm not saved by grace through faith, not of myself. It's myself that's going to become righteous by what I do. I'm going to get healed because of what I do. I'm going to get peace because of what I do. We let that go, and we couldn't get saved without him providing it for us and receiving it. Then why do we have so much trouble receiving every spiritual blessing that he's given us freely, and we don't want to receive that? We want to earn that. See, we want to show God, hey, God, look what I earned this today, and I earned that. And that's why it's so hard in religion, basically. It's almost religiosity at the same time with Christianity. And if you're doing that right now, that's why you are a miserable Christian.
Yeah.
I mean, you're born again. Hallelujah. You're going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. But you're living a life with no purpose. You're living a life with no assignment. And you're living a life where you're trying to get things from God. And you're not really trying to get things from God. You've already got things from God. And you've got to understand that these things belong to you today. You know, I'm anointed today. I have power.
Yes.
Today I have authority. Today I have peace. Today I have the love of God. All these things are in the Bible, which happens to be the Constitution of the kingdom.
Right.
And if you don't read the Constitution, you're not going to know. And even worse, it's the last will and testament of Jesus.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're not going to look in the last will and testament to find out what he left each and every one of us, then you're not going to know, and you're going to be ignorant of it. And that's our biggest problem in the church and in our lives is ignorance. Yeah. We have spiritual ignorance of what he did for us, how he provided it for us, what he went through to get it to us. And how do we get it? We get it by grace, through faith, not of ourselves.
That's right.
It is a gift of God in every area of our lives.
And gifts need to be opened. And then when you open a gift, like a newborn or a child, you might not know how to operate that gift. So you go to God. But I will tell you this. When you were talking, I thought that's why if you're like in an American, if you don't know your rights when you go to another country and you get arrested, say, you know, like we tend to say, oh, the enemy, the devil, you know, is tormenting me. Right? Well, that's like being arrested by the, you know, he's hindering you. He's arresting you. He's binding you from your life. And if you don't know your rights, that's not even legit that he can do that, then he's going to get away with it. He's going to be able to do that legally because you're in darkness, you're in ignorance. But if you understand what Jesus did, that he took the keys back from hell, and you have the right to speak to that and say, oh, no, you don't have authority over me. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, and Christ did these things for me, then you're going to stay bound. You're going to stay a victim. And that's what we're trying to help you understand so that you can come out of that and stand on God's word, on who you are in him. It's so important. It's such a blessing to know who you are because it gives us a heart of more thanksgiving, you know, and that's in a lifestyle that's sweet aroma to God. Because when you can walk in that awareness, you can't help but be thankful. I mean, you just can't. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, it's like, oh, my gosh, this is such a wonderful gift I got. You know, because I know I was tormented by not only people, places and things, thoughts all day and all night. Tormented, waking up in the middle of the night, can't get it out of my mind, whether it was through finances or somebody said something to me and I should have said it this way. I mean, obsessive compulsiveness. We label these things, but it's all spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. And if you understand spiritual things, the heavenly realm, the kingdom, then you don't give these things the titles that they're trying to demand from you. You don't have to say, I am depressed. No, what I said when the spirit of infirmity tried to come upon me, I said, I always describe it as cancer tried to get me, but it couldn't. Mm-hmm. Didn't have the power because I understood my position in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Even though days I didn't feel it, wasn't about feelings. It was about a fact, a truth, a promise that I had to stand on even when I felt sick, even when I felt scared or whatever those. I had to come against them spiritually with God's word. There were scriptures, and we heard them at Treasure Coast Victory Center. So if you want the list of healing scriptures, you can always call me, 631-745-7980, and I'll make a copy for you. Because they're really good.
They are
and
good.
Who I am in Christ. We have another list. That's mm-hmm. who I am in Christ. So, like, you know, sometimes we forget, you know, who we are. And it's good to recite these things or to have them at hand.
One of the biggies that I went through in my life, basically, I think we all did because we were taught it, is that God is in control of everything.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We learned that in religion. We learned at every church we went to. God's in control. And it really messed me up for the longest time and bothered me because, you know, God is good all the time, they would say. Well, he wasn't for me.
Exactly.
He was good sometimes, and sometimes he wasn't that good. You know, sometimes I got a breakthrough in finances or this, and God is good. And next time I'm broke, not all the time.
Why is he doing this to me?
Just some of the time. I don't know what's going on here, you know. And it gets you to a point to where you're wondering how good he is. You're wondering really how much he loves me. If I'm his child and nothing's working out for me, what's mm-hmm. going on? And I came to the point where I found a scripture. I think it's in Galatians chapter 6 where it says, be not deceived, which I was.
Mm-hmm.
God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you shall reap.
Yeah.
And I tried to find God in that scripture and couldn't find it except my deception was thinking of God. And I found out whatever I was sowing, was going to reap. Then in Psalms it says, the heavens are the Lord, but the earth he has given to the children of man.
Amen.
And I said, my gosh, I've got authority down here. It's not God's fault that I'm living like a stoop. That's not it. And then in Matthew 18:18, it says, whatever you bind on earth
shall
be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose shall be loosed.
Mm-hmm.
So I found out that he was not in control of everything in my life, and I started taking control of things in my life. So I'd come across scriptures that said, give him no place, talking about the devil.
Right.
So I said, that's right. I'm not going to give him any place in my life. That's the way it's going to be. other scriptures came up that gave me commands of what I could do and
That's
what
right.
I couldn't do and how to do it and how not to do it. And all at once I started taking control.
Yeah.
Which that's the best thing about the kingdom of God. You start to take control of your own situations
that's
and
right.
circumstances
Amen.
That before you didn't think you could, and then you blame God for them
right.
because he didn't do anything for them. God is not putting you through hell to teach you something down here. He's not beating you up. He's not lambasting you. He has given you ways to live not only with life, but life more abundantly in our life.
God.
He just doesn't want us saved. He wants us to come into the knowledge of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that we have authority here on the earth. The Bible in Revelation called me a king. I said, wow,
yes.
that's pretty cool.
Yes.
You know, I wish I'd have wrote that. It looks so good. So I started calling myself a king. I'm a king. Well, if I'm a king and I have authority, then I'm going to start ruling over things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be in bondage to alcohol. I
right.
don't want alcohol ruling
that's
over
right.
me if I'm a king. I'm not going to have sex rule over me if
that's
I'm a
right.
king. I'm not going to have drugs rule over me if I'm a king. I'm not going to have offense rule over
that's
me if
right.
I'm a king. I'm not going to do this because I'm a king and I ain't putting up with that stuff anymore. And basically, it started giving me a kingdom attitude.
Yes.
And there is a kingdom attitude you can get, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a prodigal son attitude. That's not the kingdom attitude. But Jesus has the kingdom attitude.
Yeah.
And you see that Jesus never worried. He was never put down. When he got in a situation, he just spoke to it. He had authority over it. And what was he doing? He was demonstrating the kingdom of God for
that's
us
right.
as God in a physical body, like we're in a physical body. And it started opening up things to me to where I no longer blamed everything on poor God. I never, you know that he don't love me. Oh, yes, he does. And he showed me a way out of everything. And he gave his keys, the Bible said, to the kingdom. And many of the keys are simply the scriptures that tell you how to get out
Amen.
Of the things
That's
you're
right.
already getting into. And as I started learning how to do things, you know, it's like even in the natural. If you know how to fix a car and your car breaks down, it's no problem.
Right.
If you don't know anything like me and a car breaks down, I'm in trouble.
Right.
James could come fix it. I could not come fix it. The only difference between me and him is not the car.
Right.
It's not that it's different. It's that he knows something about the fixing the car, and I knew nothing about it. So the more I learned about the kingdom of God, the more I started fixing things
That's
in my
right.
life. And other people say, well, that ain't going to work. Well, it does work because I've already worked it. You know,
yes.
I've already put gas in the tank, and it's running now.
That's right.
And that's what it was all about, is getting rid of that God is in control. Because as long as God is in control and you're having a bad life, God's going to get the blame because he's the one in control.
Mm.
And that really separates you from the love of God, which is really hard to live by if you don't think God loves you. Because then you think he's after you all the
and
time.
And the other one is you never know. You never know, what God's going to do. But we do know what God wants us to do, you know. So we could. And binding and loosening things in our life is through our words. So that if people are listening and you're like, well, how do we do that? You do that through how we speak to a situation or a circumstance. You know, like you'll know where someone's at when something happens unexpected and how they respond, you know. Like the other day, my son played a trick on me and he said, which was not funny to me, but God said to me, you see where you're at with this? It was a little fear, you know, and I had to really talk to God about it. But he called me and said, Mom, I dropped something at a store and they're accusing me of stealing. And I was like, what? What do you go to jail? And I hung up on him.
Oh my God.
Was that April Fool's joke or what was it?
I guess. Uh-huh. I don't, but it wasn't funny to me.
No, nothing
you
funny
know, because,
about that.
And if people knew listening, because my son had a past history of doing some crazy stuff, you know, that we finally came out on the other side of. You know, and I keep telling him, you know, there's a king in you. There's a king in you. You have to, you know, every time. And so he thought it was hilarious. He's like, yeah, you know, everybody in the store was laughing at you because I was on speaker. And God says to me, what's inside of that right there? You know, and I have to be at peace when he makes his decisions. Automatically, my first thought was, I can't go through this again. It was about me, you know, and that was where the response came from. It didn't come from, well, this is your choice. You know, am I truly letting go of his decisions? You know, there was a little bit of I want to control, like him not getting in trouble, you know. But see how when you have the kingdom mindset, as soon as I responded that way, I was like, I don't want to respond like that. That's just not right, you know. So I had to say, okay, what is it in me that is fearful? But that's what we're talking about. It's okay to recognize these things and then to find out, okay, why am I responding this way? This is not the way I should be responding. And how can I do it differently, you know.
Maybe you should have took his car keys and said April Fool's. And see how he responded.
Or take the car and hide it.
See how far he was along in kingdom thinking.
Somebody came and took your car.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, and the kingdom mindset, as you start to think kingdom ways, one thing that changes more than anything, I think, in my life is prayer.
Yes.
My prayer completely changed because I had the old grocery list of prayers of wants that I wanted from God and wanted God to do. And I had to read the verse 14 times in order for God to finally hear me and maybe do it. And if he didn't do it, I felt bad that maybe he didn't like me. That's why he wasn't doing it. And yet he was doing it for other people and he wasn't doing it for me.
Right.
And it's really, and then why should I pray anyway if I'm going through this grocery list of things I want and God ain't doing anything about it anyway? I mean, I'm wasting my time every morning to pray. And I just didn't understand that I was doing exactly what Jesus told me not to do, and that was worry about certain things in my life. Now, I'm not saying you don't pray. I'm saying that you pray in line with God's will and what God wants to do here in the earth realm. Once again, if you seek first, the Bible said, the kingdom of God, basically the government of God, which the Bible talks about as the Constitution, and you stay in right alignment with that kingdom. Now, you've got to stay in right alignment with it, which means you've got to stay as being legal. You know, and basically, if you're not legal, it's going to mess things up. Now, the only way you're going to know whether you're obeying the laws of God is if you read the Bible and find out what the laws of God are. I mean, you can't say that, you know, I was doing this and it was wrong, but I didn't know it. Well, you're supposed to find out in your kingdom what's right and what's wrong. You know, if you drive down the wrong side of the road in heaven, you're going to get clipped. That's the way it is. So basically, I had to change my prayer list. God, what do you want? You know, what's your will in this situation? And I just found scriptures where God spoke what his will was, which eliminates you never know what God's going to do because he already wrote in the Bible what he wants to do. And I know for sure he wants to get everybody born again.
Yeah.
I know he wants everybody to be fruitful in the kingdom of God. He wants everybody to be healed. And it's a lot easier to pray in line with that, even when you're ministering to other people, where you know it's you and God against that sickness rather than you against the sickness with God somewhere in between, wondering whether he's on the sickness side to teach him something or the healing side to set them free. And you get caught in the middle where you're almost triple-minded before you ever get the mind of the person, the mind of God, the mind of yourself. So basically it put me on a side where if God be for me, who can be against me? And then praying for people and things that I prayed for. I found scriptures. I mean, I found them. And I could come boldly before him with his own word.
That's right.
You know, he's bound by his word, the Bible says, and come to him and do things. You know, when we went through our thing with Cashy, with the problems that he had and everything else, I found a scripture that said, if I pray according to his will, he hears me. And if he hears me, then I know I have the petition. Well, I knew his will was for Cashy to get well.
That's right.
And basically, if I prayed that, then I knew he heard me because it was his will. And then I knew it was happening or going to happen because of the simple fact that I was praying according to his will. And then he himself said he'd hear me. So basically, I almost, if I could, you know, sometimes your kids will throw your words back at them.
Yes.
Yes. Sometimes you can take the word and throw it back at God.
Amen.
And that's not to get him to do something. That's because he wants to do something. And you've got to get to the place where you can come into agreement with him to get it done.
Yeah. And let him know that this is his promise to you. You know, I wrote here that the kingdom thinking seeks first the kingdom of God, his culture, and manifests heaven on earth here right now. And Christian thinking, or I'll say religious thinking, and, you know, seeks to get to heaven and to get from heaven. Like we're waiting for heaven to pour down on us. Meanwhile, heaven's in us. It's us manifesting it out of us rather than God pouring it. He already poured, you know, it's already done. He already gave Jesus' blood. You're covered. He already gave it at the cross, everything. And then I wrote, and some of the things that you were saying is like through works and repetitious prayers, you know, like begging. I used to do it, and especially in the beginning, because I didn't know until I spent time with God in the Word, and I'm like, wait a minute, I shouldn't be asking that way, you know, because the Holy Spirit will correct you. You know, it's helpful when you have, someone is pouring into you, you have a good church, you have, you know, kingdom-minded church and a pastor pouring in. But it wasn't Pastor Tom that came to me and said, you shouldn't be doing it. It was the Holy Spirit in me telling me, you know, wait. And then maybe a sermon or something I heard, maybe even afterwards, oh, that's what you were teaching me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always the Holy Spirit. It's not, that's why we, when we get offended, or it's giving the enemy a place that he doesn't have to have. It, if you surrender to the Holy Spirit, he's always going to teach and lead you and guide you. And when someone, like you said, when my kids throw something back at me, ooh, sometimes it can be a little, you know, sting. Mm-hmm. I don't take it as, that's the same thing that happened the other day. I don't take it as an offense or a condemnation or something. I take it, or, you know, like, I'm your mother, don't talk to me prideful. I take it as conviction, like, okay, God, why am I getting a little ting, or, you know, not feeling peace out of that, what that was said? And God will, and the Holy Spirit helps you with that, you know, teaches you. But we have to be willing and open and ask the Holy Spirit to you know, lead us and guide us in all truth. You want to say something, James?
I'm good. Just when he was talking about speaking, the kingdom of God, it takes, all operates by faith, whether prophesying, healing, miracles, or it's all by faith, and without faith it's impossible. Please God, and that's why he's talking about speaking. He says, speak to the mountain, you'll have what you say. I remember once I heard, I've been healed many times by just speaking. I was healed before I was healed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the anointing backs up the word of God when you stand on the word. One time I'd hurt myself and got healed that way, and I told this other person, man, you just need to, their shoulder was messed up. And I'm like, just speak it. And then my shoulder started messing up. And man, I'm telling you, it was like 7 months. They would go out of joint every time I lowered it down all the way, mm-hmm. and it would pop. And I'd just, it hurt so bad, but I would go, thank you, my shoulder's healed. But it got where I gave up. But because I've been saying for 3 or 4 months, thank you for healing it.
Mm-hmm,
thank
mm-hmm.
you, it's healed it. I just kept doing that by reaction. But I wasn't even believing in my head anymore. I was like giving up on this thing. And then one day I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, it didn't go out yesterday. And I started moving around. It was totally healed mm-hmm. instantly.
Amen.
But, I was speaking, but kind of my faith was really down.
Yeah, but God's faith. He's faithful to his word.
He said you have what you speak, though.
Yeah. That's right.
Not what you think.
That's right. Amen. Thank God.
Power in our words.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's always easier to speak when somebody else is hurting. Hey, you're healed, brother. I'm in so much pain. Oh, no, you're healed. And then you have the pain the next day. This ain't going to be much fun.
Yeah,
now it's
right.
more fun the other way when I'm picking on somebody else. Uh-huh. So.
Well, you got me about my foot because it was really bad there. And I wasn't standing on it. And I start standing. I'm like, I'm just speaking it's healed. Anybody asks, I don't care. And I'm going to 2 churches now. I'm helping one out that has no idea about any of this. And I walk in. He goes, how's your foot? And I'm like, it's healed. What do you mean? You're limping around. What do you mean it's healed?
What's that boot doing on there if you're healed?
Amen.
And stuff like that happens, you know. It's not that, well, God dropped something on my foot to break it. No, he didn't drop it. James dropped something on his foot, basically.
He sure did.
And it's just one of those things that happens. Praise God. So you don't really blame God for that. Stuff like that, you know, happens every now and then. So, yeah, and when I was coming up, everything was heaven, 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 heaven. And it was amazing because we're going to heaven. Sooner or later, we're all going to heaven. Mm-hmm. And every day I was, instead, in the church I was at, I was praying the Our Father. It said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done
right.
on earth.
Uh-huh.
I was praying to go to the kingdom, or wanting to go to the kingdom, and every day praying that the kingdom would come here. I was so confused. God probably didn't know which way to send the king. He was probably going around the circle at the same time. But I just didn't understand. Even the prayer we were praying didn't make sense with my mind of what
right.
I was thinking. But I prayed it because everybody prayed it and everybody knew mm-hmm. it. And I thought, my God, we're supposed to be getting the kingdom into the earth. We're not supposed to be going
right.
and claiming that as the kingdom. So mm-hmm. you know, another thing that changes our mind. And even in, you know, John 17, Jesus prayed for us.
Yes.
He didn't say, oh, Father, take them to heaven because they're having so many problems down there. And we got such wonderful gold up here. He said, no, I don't want them up here. He
That's
said, lay
right.
them down there where they belong. Get them down there. They got an assignment. Don't you dare bring them up here yet. Leave them down there. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. You're not going to find that in the Bible. But that's basically what he was saying, which we don't think about that. We mm-hmm. think, I mean, all there was get saved and go to heaven. then as soon as we get saved, he might as well
go to
get
heaven,
us out of here.
Right?
Yeah. We might as well just get out of here and forget it. Mm-hmm. But no, we have assignments here. We have a purpose here. Mm-hmm. I have one. Luann has one. James has one. You have one.
That's right.
And the more you find out about that assignment that's been assigned to you from before you were even created
Amen.
And born here, the happier life is going to be.
Yeah. And everyone who's born into the kingdom has the ministry of reconciliation. So it's like that's the first thing. If you don't know, there's something right there. It's written that way. Jesus tells us that we have the ministry of reconciliation, which means to bring other people into him, to reconcile them by our good news, our testimony. Like what Pastor Tom's saying, you know, you want to, it's exciting when you're walking with the Lord and he's manifesting and even through the trials, you know, we have to count it all joy. Because there's something to, it's something turning for the good. We just have to get to the other side of it, you know? And sometimes it feels longer than it should. Sometimes it feels more, you know, hard or, but in, on the other side of that is the blessing, the peace, and the growth, the spiritual growth, you know? That's when the fruit grows. So,
you know, when you're just walking, and, I mean, there's no armor for our backside. When you're going forward, because there is a war out there, there is a kingdom that doesn't like us. And when you're going forward and exercising your authority, there's an excitement inside.
Yes.
And you're getting people free or whatever you're doing when the anointing is flowing through you. But being stagnant and sitting still is a really not a good place.
No.
That's where people have a lot of problems.
Right. Yeah. It's true.
And Christianity taught me a lot of hope.
Mm-hmm.
Hope for this, hope for that, hope for this. But when I got in the kingdom, I no longer needed hope. I needed faith.
Amen.
Because I already had these things. I was not trying to faith to get these things. I was putting faith in what he'd already given
Amen.
Me. So God spoke one time and he said, you keep waiting for a king who already came. You keep waiting for the kingdom that you're already in. You keep waiting to become what you already are. You keep waiting for a victory that was already won. We keep wanting to do what we should already be doing
Amen.
If you're a kingdom person.
Okay.
And all the other ones, I was on the other side of every one of them things. I was waiting for the king to come back. I was waiting to go to heaven. I was waiting for my victory. If I believed a little more, maybe if I folded my hands and prayed, I'd get to victory.
Right.
Maybe if I knelt down, I'd get to victory. Maybe if I jumped around, I'd get
mm-hmm.
the victory. Maybe if I cried, I'd get the victory.
Right.
And all that stuff, I didn't know it, but it was already given to me. It already belonged to me.
Amen.
When I entered the kingdom and started reading the word from a kingdom mentality and being a king, all these things became possessed. To me rather than a distant hope
right.
in the future. But hope keeps you going after, but you're never going to get there unless
right.
you get into kingdom faith
mm-hmm.
because you don't receive them things right. and you don't know that you already have them.
Right.
Yeah. When you read the Bible as a book, your inheritance, your will and testament, it really opens up to you. And you realize, hey, this is what I've been given, not what I'm trying to obtain.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. It starts to speak to you personally. The Bible, when you're in the Bible and you're, you know, and sometimes you're not even looking for anything. You're just spending time with the Lord. And all of a sudden he's like, no, this is for you, you know, and it'll pop up and it's like, wow, you know, you get revelation knowledge, which
revelation,
is really
yep.
revelation. That's the little, that's when the seed pops and there's a little green you can see, you know, it's like, and then you just keep, you know, pouring on the water on it, and it'll grow and grow and grow, and fruit will start to come.
And you may be really going after God. I mean, you may be going after the things of God and everything. And I was there at one time. I mean, I was going after the things of God, and I'd go to meetings where there's a powerful
right.
anointing
mm-hmm.
there, and I'd say, I want that anointing. And I'd go mm-hmm. back home, and I'd pray, and I'd say,
right.
give me that anointing. I want that anointing, Lord. Give me that anointing. I want that anointing. And I was doing that for months and months and months and months. And then finally I opened up at 1 John, and it says, you have the anointing. And I thought, maybe that's why I've never operated in it, because I didn't know I had it, and I kept
Amen.
Trying to get it. Now I got it, so I might as well operate in the anointing.
Yeah.
And I found out that all these things that I was going after, and I mean, I was diligent. I was after it. But I could go after it all I wanted to, because even if I got it, then I thought I got it.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get any glory for anything you got.
Amen.
Jesus already got it for you and paid
Amen.
For it, and it belonged to each and every one of us. So that changed. And even in my own identity, I wanted to become what it said I already was.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. I just want to be more patient. Well, you you're already patient.
That's right.
I want to have more love.
You've already
got the love of God.
Amen.
Well, I already want to be righteous. I want to be all that. No, all these things is who you are. And once again, it's not by your performance. Mm-mm. It's not by your work. It's not by your prayers. It's by what Jesus Christ did. And when he was raised from the dead, all these things were provided for each and every one of us.
So now,
the only question is, will you take advantage of all the gifts and all the inheritance that you've already been given? Because we're even, we're not co-heirs with Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus. That
Hallelujah.
Means whatever Jesus has, we have also. Praise God.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. That's so true. Okay. Thank you. So, yeah, it's so good. Just, knowing him and spending time with him. Thank God.
Yeah, now I'm praying, and I was believing even before I came here that you would get a hold of this, that you would understand, especially if you were where I was at one time. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I was born again and I was saved and I was going to heaven, but I wasn't really happy about nothing.
Right.
I mean, my life stunk. I was doing my best and God wasn't answering my prayers, and I was struggling to get this and get that from God and didn't seem like he was answering until I came to a place where the Holy Spirit finally got through my thick head.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all got that thick head, and many of us have been taught things that basically you got to unlearn,
right?
Which makes it tough. You're better off with somebody that don't know nothing who gets born again, because then they'll just believe what you tell them. But everybody else wants to argue with you because they've had the same traditions and the same rituals forever, and they need these things. But it's not what you need. It just needs to get in the will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ and find out how you're thinking different than him. If you're getting up every morning and saying, I'm so worried, you're going to have to change that.
That's right.
There's no reason for you. You're so worried because you're choosing to be worried about situations and circumstance. And most of those things you can't do nothing about anyway. I mean, no matter how hard you try, and you've been trying for years and it hadn't gotten any better. Oh, that son of mine, how old is he? 60. Leave him alone. Let him go. He's old enough now. What are you going to do, spank him, for gosh sakes? No.
That's right.
You got to let him and go, put him in God's hand. God, he's yours.
That's right.
Deal with him. You get somebody along the path he'll listen to, because most of the time it won't be me, but there's somebody out there. But I want to see people live in life and life more abundantly. I want people to live in joy and peace and happiness and enjoy their life while we're down here, because it's very short.
Yes. And when you experience God's glory and his promises and his love, you want to share that. That's because he's in you and he wants to share with another person. So he wants to use you for that purpose. So we have only a minute left, Pastor. It goes by so fast.
Does it?
Yeah. Do you want to pray?
Sure. Well, I just want to pray for everybody listening right now. I just pray that, like basically Paul prayed for, basically he prayed for you to get the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God, of the inheritance that belongs to you, of the calling that he has placed in your life, your individual calling you need to discover. And I pray, Father, that the spirit of God would rise up on the inside of each and every person, would ignite them with a new love for you, a new fire for you, a new power for you. I thank you, Father, for opening their eyes of their understanding to the supernatural things that you have provided for them once again. Lord, we all agree you are really a good God. We thank you for this time of season, but we thank you that this changes from being a season into a lifestyle for each and every one of us, that we can live the kingdom of God in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Happy Resurrection Day.
Amen.
God bless.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love, all the glory.